to TJ for a couple of quickies.
So yeah. Let's
go to our guest. You can check him out on Baltimore Radio, WNST. I've known him for a long, long time. Good friend. It's Nestor Aparicio. How you doing, Nestor?
Is it winter there yet? Are all the leaves off the trees?
Pretty much. It was winter, let's say, by July, I think, is when it gets winter out here. First of all, I got to tell you, Rich is dying to talk to you about Luis because he's a big Red Sox fan. I know that.
Well, when I was a little kid, I was a shortstop, and that guy was my hero. And I saw your last name, and I thought, I wonder if that's any relation. And Arnie tells me he's your cousin. That's unbelievable.
Well, it's been true since 1968, yeah. So, you know, it's fascinating. Frank Robinson died about a year and a half ago, and Arnie, you'll appreciate this, because back in the day, we would do national radio and sporting news and 101 sports, and Frank was a Baltimore guy, you know, was in Baltimore, obviously, but never did my show, and was always a little snide, always a little difficult on me, and I never really knew whether he got along with my cousin or not, because they were teammates in 66, and whether he kind of gave me a hard time for any, and it was kind of a fun hard time, but I took it a little harder, because I was young. I found an interview with Frank Robinson that I did 2 years ago.
Wow.
And it was like 8 minutes long. It's when he was the czar of all of, you know, baseball's policies with punishing players and stuff. You came up spikes high. Frank was the one to find you back in the day. So this led to a really wild thing, because I went on this journey about how Louis got to Baltimore in 1963 and 64 on the trade with Bill Veeck. He hated Bill Veeck. Bill Veeck wouldn't pay him in Chicago. It's how Frank Robinson wound up in Baltimore. And here's a little story for everybody that loves beer. The Orioles were owned by a beer magnate named Jerry Hoffberger. And Jerry did not have any problem with race, color, creed, Hispanic, black. And we're not far off of Jackie Robinson at this point in the early 60s. Frank Robinson was abused for the color of his skin in Cincinnati. He was very racially divided. And Frank Robinson came to Baltimore, and Jerry Hoffberger got him a good life, got him a house in a good neighborhood. He was well taken care of. And from the time he got to Baltimore, he was beloved on the back end of the Colts. And Louis in Chicago was also beloved, and Louis sold a lot of tickets for the Go-Go Sox, and Louis basically gave the middle finger to Bill Veeck. And when he came to Baltimore, a reporter had interviewed him from New York and asked Louis what he loved about being in Baltimore, and he said that he got to bring his family to America.
Oh, wow.
Here I am.
Wow. Here you are. I love that. Wow, what a great – I love that story. That's a good one.
Well, he was a hero, believe me, because, like I said, I was a shortstop from T-ball through high school, and he just happened to land at Fenway Park in 71 when I was a 10-year-old.
Well, you know, it's interesting you'd say that, because, like, as an adult – I'm 52 now, and you have all your memories. Look, I collected every baseball card. I met Louis in 1973. I'll send the picture out. You can Google it up. If you just Google up my name, you'll see Little Nestor in 1973 with Louis with the Red Sox. He gave me a baseball that day. And I still have the baseball. He signed the baseball in one color, like blue. Everyone else on the baseball signed it in the other color. The baseball, the 73 Red Sox were loaded, dude. They had Cepeda, Yaz, Tiant, Fisk.
Wow.
Cecil Cooper, you know, and Dewey Evans. I mean, great play. Lynn and Rice weren't there yet, but I still have that baseball from 1973.
Oh,
so if
wow.
you want me to regale you with Louis stories, and I had a 19th that day at the ballpark, my dad bought me a Boston Red Sox legit bobblehead, a legit 1973 bobblehead, and I still have that. So, yeah, I married a Red Sox fan. My wife's from Manchester, New Hampshire, so I got plenty of Red Sox stuff in my
head. Oh, that's for sure. Rich could do this all day for sure. But let's get a little bit to Baltimore. First of all, you know, Baltimore's not – I can't put my finger on it. You're not quite progressed like I thought you were from last year. I thought after last year in that playoff loss, you coming out like gangbusters. I can't put my finger on it. I don't think Lamar Jackson has progressed to that next level. Are they saying that? What are they saying out there?
Well, Lamar Jackson today went on Dan Patrick and said that the other teams are calling out the Ravens' plays.
Wow.
Now, and this is a fascinating thing for you cheaters up in New England, all of you, including you, Rich, you cheater lovers with the hoodie, that, you know, cheating's easier than it's ever been, right? Because there's no noise in the stadium, that when I yell out, Omaha, Omaha, not only does the boom mic pick it up, but, like, literally every word that's uttered now down on the field is very, very audible that maybe unless you had a mic'd up player, you know, in the old days, everybody hears it, everybody can hear it, and all the game tape has it too. I mean, I'm a couple of hours old on this story, and I started thinking about it, but I started to think about what a cheater like Bill Belichick would do if he could hear everything and get it in real time and know everyone's cadence, everyone's plays, because maybe in the old era of 72,000 people and the general noise of a football game and whistles, and it wouldn't be as easy to steal. And, you know, look, guys, we're talking about banging on trash cans down in Houston, right? I mean, you know, we had steroids back in our era. Remember, Arnie, we go to the locker and Mark McGwire would say, that's just some GNC product, and Sammy Sosa would go no speaky. Remember that?
Yeah, Androstenedione Dione is what it was. Yeah, I love it.
We all had to learn about Androstenedione Dione in the summer of 98, didn't we?
That was absolutely true.
Wow, all that love for Louis Aparicio's cousin went right out the window in 1 second.
Well, you know, come on, man. I'm Ravens, your Patriots. I'm Orioles, your Red Sox. I mean, come on. You don't want to be too nice to you, dude.
I had to say that. Not that it gets old hearing about the Cheatriots for the last 107 years.
I did 9 months on, you know, on Deflategate and all that. I had Bob Kravitz on the show last week. We played Indianapolis.
Oh, wow.
He's still in witness protection out there. For
So, and what about J.K. Dobbins today? I mean, that obviously makes a big difference because Lamar Jackson doesn't have to carry the ball every time.
He looks good.
He does look good.
Well, they drafted for this, right? And they drafted around Lamar. So if you really want to talk about the Ravens and their, you know, how good they are at what they do. You know what I mean? Like, I watch Flacco flick the ball around against you guys on Monday night with Joe Douglas in New York, right? Flacco to Breshad Perryman. We're all familiar with that here. Very, very familiar with that. But I would say this about the Ravens. They've drafted around Lamar. He's on a rookie contract. Marshall Yanda gone. Ronnie Stanley now with a broken ankle. Last week it was Marlon Humphrey with COVID. That they've really worked on depth. They've really worked on being more than what they were in the Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs glory era, which was, you know, 75% of the money being spent on defense. And, oh, by the way, Joe, you take the rest and we'll figure it out around you. And some busted draft picks and, you know, Ozzie's era on the way out. And Eric DaCosta is very, very analytic. Driven. He was very, very driven by the work of the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees and scouting and baseball. He's brought that to football. It's why the Ravens go for it on fourth and anything, quite frankly, most of the time. They play the game differently. They run the ball differently. They scheme things differently. But they also drafted differently when they gave money to Mark Ingram and they had Gus Edwards and they know Lamar's going to wind up running the ball. I mean, Lamar Jackson's their best running back, right? I mean, you don't want him running into linebackers, but he is the best threat they have when he has the ball, not to throw it, but to run. You can't catch him. So the Dobbins thing is not a shocker in that they drafted him. A lot of people were shocked by it. I wasn't, because I think they need other weapons to complement Lamar, and I don't think – look, they've already got a cranky wide receiver in Hollywood Brown, right? They brought in Dez Bryant. Any wide receiver who is of that alpha, you know, type of guy – who was a star in college, I mean, how are they getting the ball in this offense? I mean, do they really think they're going to get targeted 8-10 times a game when this offense is designed to only throw it 20? Ever?
No.
You know, if this offense throws the ball 35 times a game, it means they're losing.
Right. It's a little bit different if they do that. Hey, last thing before we let you go, is there any fear? What's the mindset coming into this game? It feels like there's no chance for the Patriots to win. Are the fans like, this is payback for all the years? We want the Patriots to be miserable. What's the mindset coming into this game?
Genius, I made an admission today. You know, I go to all the Ravens games 25 years. Missed, before this year, I missed 7 games, and 4 of those were my wife had cancer back in 2014 and 15. So I don't miss Ravens games home or away, London, L.A., Seattle, doesn't matter where they play, I go, right? So this year's been different. I went to Houston, I went to Philly, and I went to Washington. I took off Indy. This week with COVID, I literally canceled my flight about 2 hours ago.
Oh.
And here's the deal, man. There is nothing I would relish more than flying to New England and seeing an empty stadium, a lousy Patriots team, no traffic in on one, no traffic out on one, nobody flipping me the finger, you know, nothing, right? Like, I could go in there on Sunday night and do this, but, you know, with COVID, it's just better for me. For you know, the access is different now as a media member. You don't talk to players. You don't, you know, so I'm going to sit at home, but it is delicious watching the Patriots struggle a little bit. This is the second delicious thing after the Biden victory last week for me. So I'm having a pretty good week around here, fellas.
Yes, you are. That's for sure.
Hey, I got to ask you, with the name of Nestor and you work at a place called WNST, is that a coincidence? Is the place named after you?
So actually, I founded it. I bought it. I took a loan out for it. It was called WKDB. In 1998, and I was Nasty Nestor, and the birds of the Ravens, and the Ravens are in the nest. Get it? Right? Nest. So there you have it. And I literally just changed everything I do now to Baltimore Positive after 22 years and the Orioles becoming irrelevant and sports going away for 6 months and a fascist trying to take over our world. I moved everything. And Freddie Gray in Baltimore on the Rye. I mean, all of that. I moved to a brand called Baltimore Positive. We're still WNST AM. We still do, you know, radio. I'm still Nestor. We're still all that. But BaltimorePositive.com is my brand. We're trying to make the world a better place, genius.
I love it. Nestor Aparicio, you got to tune on in. You certainly can check him out online, Nestor. You're the best, buddy. I'm glad we reconnected, and I'm glad you had a chance to come on.
I love Vermont, man. I hope to get back up there, get some legitimate maple syrup. And my sister-in-law went to school, lived up there for a while. So
wow.
Appreciate you guys up there.
I appreciate you, Nestor. Thank you. Take care, man. Nestor Aparicio, everybody.
Oh,
wow, he's
big.
Pretty good, huh?
He's big with the Trump and Patriots.